This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
And we're back. It's hour three. We got a lot to take care of yet in this hour. Our friend Al Perkins is going to do some entertainment stuff. We've got two things with Kat Carlson. She's going to have her very own segment again this hour. We let her do it every week. Plus, we're going to do maybe some thoughtful vulgarity. I'm not sure if we're going to get to the night, but we'll figure it all out, and you're going to learn right along with us because you're here too. Joe D's in the chat room, Harrison, Nero, Aaron from LA. I'm sorry, I didn't even see you in there, Aaron. Hello. Oh, my mom is probably still listening, though. She doesn't chat in the room as much. She just is on her couch listening dutifully as she does every week.
Cringing occasionally.
But we have some breaking news, as I just was informed.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. I'm going to turn over this to Kat Carlson. She's got an announcement. So, ladies and gentlemen, the lovely, the talented Kat Carlson.
This just in. Q Talk America's own Kat Carlson has raised officially $800 for AIDS Walk.
Oh, my God. Beautifully
Thanks
realized.
To a generous donation from our friend Joe D in the chat room. Oh, he followed the link that I posted and will post again here shortly.
Pushed it over the
and
edge.
And found just how easy it is to donate to AIDS Walk.
Where can I find that link?
You know what? Here's where you go to. You go to katcarlson.com.
How simple that sounds.
That's very easy. You know what? And it skips the whole, like, mushy story about why I'd walk AIDS Walk, because I didn't really fill it out anyway. It just takes you right to the donation page. You don't have to screw around. You
right
don't have
to
do
shot.
Another click.
Less
exactly.
mush, more money.
Yeah.
That's
it. That's what I'm saying.
The money shot, yeah. I'm sorry, I wasn't on that.
Kind listener, be like Joe.
Be like Joe.
Go to katcarlson.com. Thank you, Joe.
There we go.
Well done.
And thanks, now we'll
Joe.
Turn the reins over to Al Perkins in entertainment.
Well, I'm just going to catch up on some... do some housekeeping with some sitcoms that are back or starting up. The Mayor is the new one that I decided to tune into because I like several members of the cast.
It's on my list. That's the Leah Michelle.
Michelle,
I feel
right.
like ABC Tuesdays, maybe, airing probably right now.
Sure. Streaming on Hulu right now.
Streaming on Hulu. I found the first episode to be really clever and funny and a great premise.
Okay.
Of a kid who, for a publicity stunt, runs for mayor.
And then wins, right?
It wins, and Leah Michelle is kind of against him and then decides to, like, hitch her wagon to his horse or horse to his wagon, however you want to say
it. However you want to put it.
Because she's, like, an ambitious overachiever, wants to get into politics, and he's won, so she wants to help him be better at what he's doing. And,
okay.
The woman that plays his mom, and I am so embarrassed that I can't think of her name. Because I love, well, first off, I love her from Community, and she's on The Talking Dead, and she's on all the episodes of The Talking Dead. Yvonne Nicole Brown, Yvonne Simpson Brown.
Okay, I finished taking a picture of my rainbow.
I think you're getting close.
Yeah, her name has an unfortunate little part to that.
Nicole Brown Simpson?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
Kato?
Maybe.
No, but oh my God, I'm horrified at what I just said with her name.
It's not Nicole Brown Goldman, is it?
No, but she is.
Happening now. Stand by.
She is so funny, and I talk about her all the time.
It's Yvette Nicole Brown.
Yvette Nicole Brown. So there's a lot of the same stuff.
I would have just gone with Yvette Brown.
Yeah.
But she goes by the whole thing. But anyways, if you get a chance, if this show doesn't make it and you have to go back to just seeing her on The Talking Dead, she takes notes on The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. Like, she has notebooks filled with the stuff she sees, and she keeps track of the timeline. Like, she's obsessed with the show.
Okay.
And it makes it fun to watch, because nobody watches that show.
David Diggs is in it?
He's going to be on it. I think he starts soon. So she's just so much fun. And when you're kind of obsessing over a show by yourself, and then she comes on the talk show and brings out her notebooks with all these crazy theories, you're like, oh, I thought that too. So it's kind of funny.
You've talked about that before.
Yeah, like I get the biggest kick out of her, so I try to, like, find her on stuff. And what's-his-face, the second less luckiest person in the world after Ryan Seacrest, is the guy that hosts all those shows, and he's got, like, two game shows and a Comedy Central talk show of his own. Like, he's on TV 24 hours a fucking day. The guy that's the host of The Talking Dead. And both Talking Deads, and they have... There's another big show on AMC that they do a talking version of, too. Like, Chris something or other. Anyways, doesn't matter. Sure. So, kind of cute. Cute show. Will and Grace is back. I was going to save this to the end, but I read it first. Out of the park, they hit that one. I know that we've talked about this already ad nauseum, but we'll add Marina into it. Just thanks. Some of the greatest 30 minutes of... Well, you weren't there with us on Sunday when we were talking about it.
I know.
Just okay. 30 delightful minutes of television, even with the commercials. Yeah. funny on every fucking level. Like, just...
I can't stop watching that bit in the shower.
Yeah.
It can't stop.
It's so good, and Grace...
Have you watched them?
Mm-hmm.
Both? Okay.
Yeah. Very funny.
Karen's little water ballet going on.
In full heels.
In full heels with the hairpiece in. Yeah. And the fact that they both got wet. And we talked about this later. The fact that Will and Jack almost kiss and then break it off, and so do Karen and Grace. Like, that they both come really close to kissing and then go somewhere different. Like, one ends in a drowning and one ends in a dance number. But they're back with the dancing.
Karen's, like, you should, you know.
Yeah. Karen's voice was back where it should be. Sure. Just the right pitch. It was just perfect.
Your safety word is Grace Adler?
Oh, honey, it's just better this way. She, like, drowns her.
You didn't save me. Where were you gonna go?
It's a small space. I'm afraid it can find spaces, so you won't be wearing those cotton pants again on Monday. Everything was just firing on all cylinders. The Good Place is back, and it's delightful.
Don't tell me anything.
They've carried off the premise of what to do in season 2.
I love
2.
How they ended that. I love where they went with that.
And it's very funny. Ted Danson, just wonderful comic timing. I'm glad he went off and did his little drama thing, but welcome back to comedy, Ted Danson. You're good at it. Mm-hmm. And Kristen Bell seriously does not have a bad move in her. She could seriously sell, like, ice to freezing people. Like, she could get it done.
Ice to Eskimos, I believe.
Yeah, I couldn't think of how that went.
Lots in Hell to the Pope.
And then I swore I was going to stretch it out and not binge watch it, but my love of David knows no bounds. So Schitt's Creek debuted season 3, came
on
Netflix.
It's on the Netflix.
And I gulped it down in one big sip because David is my spirit animal.
How can you not?
I love him. I love him. I love him.
Hi, Holly.
Holly, hello. Oh, yeah, Stonehenge, Stonewall. I really don't know what either thing was. But Schitt's Creek, oh, my God. And David is just the best. And I resisted watching that. I just wasn't sold on it. And then somebody just told me, like, we think you're going to like him.
I did that with the first 2 seasons. Just slammed right
hysterical.
Through
him. Oh, he really is. And I'll give you one little taste of, like, just how perfectly his character is. So clearly everybody's barging in on a post-coital on David and a man. The guy is taking a shower, and David's already in pants, sweater, jewelry, shoes. The other guy's still toweling off. So he's in no state of disrepair whatsoever. And you're like, did you just unzip your fly for the event? Right. And it just struck me as so never nude. You know what I mean? Like, he probably did have sex fully clothed. I mean, it was so perfect that the one guy's in a towel and he's just got one of those asshole sweaters on that just cracked me up.
Yeah, he's very funny.
It's very cute. And then for the footballers in the world, HBO this month is playing Bend It Like Beckham, which I stumbled across sometime in the last couple days while I was sitting around feeling sorry for myself. Stumbled across Bend It Like Beckham, which is where we get Keira Knightley from. It's where we get Jonathan Rhys Meyers from. And it is just a charming movie about an Indian girl who wants to play football. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. It held up so well. And the music is fantastic. It's such a snapshot of, like, what we were all dancing to in 2002. Really cute.
Yep.
And then some really upsetting news. This whole Harvey Weinstein story.
I thought it was Weinstein.
Weinstein.
I just knew the Weinsteins growing up.
Oh, okay.
And so it was like, I can't differentiate.
I think it's Weinstein.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did I say Weinstein the first time? Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Weinstein. Mm-hmm. So Harvey Weinstein. And the fact that that this has gone on with, like, powerful women, too. Like what is this?
I didn't read a lot about it. I heard about it, but I didn't read a lot about it.
The New York Times was preparing an expose, and this story comes from... one of the people that started the story was Rowan Farrow, former, and I guess and he is no
Mia
longer
Farrow's
with
him,
Mia
son.
Farrow's son. Mm-hmm. He had been searching around for it, and NBC, I guess, passed on it at some point. Okay. So he took it to the New York Post, there was a competing story from the New York Times that they were, everybody was going to like come down with the same thing. There was a sting operation with the New York City police where they caught Harvey actually in the act with someone who was willing to like kind of go undercover and like expose the whole thing. Some people are coming out publicly. Some people are distancing themselves from it or reporting anonymously. But this is like so many women that have been as much as rape, as sexually assaulted, sexually abused, physically raped. And it's coming from the man that ran Hollywood for a couple of decades.
Yeah.
But just the fact that, like, now it's coming out that it was Gwyneth Paltrow, Mira Sorvino, Angelina Jolie, that these people were like, I turned him down and I said it would never work for him again. Don't you want to tell, like, And it's this new culture, and hopefully this is the start. Like, now that we've seen Roger Ailes go down, we've seen Bill O'Reilly go down. I mean, everybody but the president seems to pay for these.
I think we're at the beginning of the end of that particular culture, I hope.
I hope. And me too. And I was, it's just, and I know it's the wrong thing to think, but I'm always surprised by, like, strong women staying silent, but it's just this culture we're in, and you know they need work. He runs Hollywood. Do they wait until your stock is a little bit lower and Miramax has been sold? You know, I mean, and this is the man who changed the Oscars game. Like, the Oscars are a whole different event because of Harvey campaigning and the fact that Miramax Films and the Weinstein Company just changed the campaigning for it. They changed how the movies got seen. Like, everything, he changed so much. And in the meantime, he was this horrible, horrible person. And, you know what happened to Mira Sorvino is a very common question after her Oscar. And it turns out he kind of blacklisted her when she turned down his advances.
Stop putting up with his shit, yeah.
Yeah, so, and so it's just the amount of people, the big stars and the people that it brings down, because he's a big donator to the DNC, which has now turned over all
given
the money
back
he's
all
donated.
The money.
Not they,
oh,
they, you know, they donated to
another charity,
to a charity.
Sure.
The Obamas came out with a statement. Hillary was criticized for her delay, but it's like it's the same
for waking up this morning.
Right. Exactly. Like,
seriously, that is not news.
Yeah. But and it's there are some really nasty things being said about Matt Damon and that he was part of a cover up for it.
Oh,
and he has been adamant that he has no part of this, nor would he ever do it. Rose McGowan is claiming that Ben Affleck was aware of it because Good Will Hunting is Miramax. They used to call it the house that Ben Affleck built.
Sure.
Because of Good Will Hunting and Chasing Amy and all those early Kevin Smith movies. Those were all Miramax. All those independent movies that you never heard of, that'd be like, when the Oscars came around, you'd be like, the hell is that movie? Why have I never heard of it? It was a Miramax movie. It was Harvey and his campaigning. So this takes down so many stories, and it's like it's all of Hollywood commenting on him. And now I just found out, right before we went on air, that Georgina Chapman, who's on Project Runway All-Stars and is the head of the Marquesa brand, is his wife for 10 years. They have two kids together.
Oh, wow.
Well, she dumped his ass today.
At a girl.
Which one from Project Runway?
She's on Project Runway All-Stars, Georgina Chapman. Every once in a while, she's on regular.
Okay, I'll have to look her up.
Yeah, every once in a while, she's on regular Project Runway, but she's the Nina Garcia of All-Stars. But here, I'll click to the article and show you a picture. Gorgeous. Former model.
And soon to be single.
Yeah. Well, and, yeah. On the market soon.
And sadly, the pictures are all of him, not of her. So, but I mean, the names of the people, actresses, people that left the business completely because of him. It's terrifying to think. I don't know why I'm just so, like, I'm stopped dead in my tracks by these stories. Like, the Cosby stories. Like,
right.
30 years of assault. And Rachel Maddow today, if you get a chance to listen to, however you find Rachel in your life, she details the fact that Hannibal Buress, that he had it as part of his act for years.
Yes.
Tina Fey was always trying to tell the jokes on SNL, got a couple through, but most time NBC was like, ixnay on whatever you're trying to say about that. And it's now we're like 4 days away from the third anniversary of the Philadelphia newspaper printing, like, wow, it's funny that there was a joke last night in Hannibal's show about Cosby, Cosby being a rapist and him making the joke, like, Google Cosby rape. You'll get more hits than you do if you Google my name.
Mm. Wow.
And that was the joke. And so the reporter was like, I Googled it, and it turns out Bill Cosby's a rapist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, here it was sitting in front for everyone to see, and no one knew.
Sure.
So, shocking. And I guess I'm shocked that we just haven't made any progress.
But,
and,
you know, I think we are making progress. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. Because this seems to be accelerating, and people seem to be, you know what I mean? Like, quicker, beautiful. Aside from Hillary, of course, quicker to like stand up and denounce and to distance from people that, it you know, turns out are abusing women in this way.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's that hands off move gets faster and faster and faster. But I think parallel to that, we need to just as quickly and harshly shut down the blame the victim people.
Mm.
In this particular case, like Donna Karan.
Yeah, I heard something about blaming the victim.
Apparently,
here's
what happened. So she told the Daily Mail, which is out of the United Kingdom, that sexually harassed women may be asking for it by dressing seductively. Okay. She says, quote, you look at everything all over the world today and how women are dressing, and what are they asking for by presenting themselves that way? what are they asking for? Trouble.
And Megyn Kelly took her down. And I'm sorry.
For once, Megyn Kelly on the right fucking side.
Oh, wow. When Megyn Kelly takes the high, has the high road on you,
you know you're
you
in trouble. Because here's what Megyn Kelly said. Megyn Kelly said, quote, there are laws in this country. Laws. I don't give a damn if a woman shows up in a bikini to the office that doesn't invite or make it okay for her superior to harass her. Makes it okay for her boss to say go home and change.
Yep.
That's it. The truth is, sexual harassment has nothing to do with wardrobe. It has to do with power and control.
Yes.
And Megyn Kelly, who was one of the people that came out Roger Ailes and helped bring that down.
Yep.
And she followed that up by saying, and this is the point that, like, maybe this will get through, like, how insulting to the men of the world. Like, men are just a bunch of animals who can't behave themselves. Sure. If a woman shows her thigh, like, why aren't you offended?
Right.
Straight white men. Like, why aren't you...
Straight white men that don't do this stuff. Why aren't you coming forward to go,
why aren't you out of your mind outraged about that suggestion that you can't possibly control yourself?
Sure.
So then...
You barbarian animal.
Megyn Kelly finished her tirade by saying, but if Donna Karan wants to come on, and if she is being misquoted or taking her out of context, I'll happily interview her to find out what she was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, and again, it's not that I'm surprised that a man was bad to a woman or a Hollywood figure took advantage of a starlet. My shock was like Angelina Jolie for 17 years being like, I just
Gwyneth
won't work
Paltrow.
With him again.
No, from you saying that name.
And
like,
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Whoa,
and I guess
Vera Sorvino.
Brad Pitt like physically assaulted because he was dating Harvey because he was dating Gwyneth at the time. And I'm like, these are people that speak up about everything. Like, why not?
Yeah, and think about that. Was it just Brad Pitt's women?
Right. I mean,
I didn't even connect the Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina thing. But
so and
kick his ass.
So it's kind of a, if you see something, say something, because as I was in a conversation with someone today, I'm like, there shouldn't be more than one victim of any of these people.
Well,
and I get how awful that sounds. I really do.
Because depending on when this stuff happened, obviously, if it was with Gwyneth Paltrow and she was with Brad Pitt, that would be the 90s, early 90s?
Late 90s, yeah.
Late 90s?
Mid to late 90s.
So a lot younger, 20 years ago. But Angelina Jolie, like, when were those things? If Gwyneth we can put with Brad, so therefore it was around that time. But was that a similar time?
Right, and she started off in independent movies and stuff like that.
Right. So, because if it was when she was a lot younger, I'm not saying that it justified,
and that's where the power comes in, because there's a certain amount of self-preservation that goes into this. Like, if I speak out, I'm going to be smeared, not him. He's got too much power, too many contacts. Right. Like, I'm screwing myself over for the better part of my life.
Right, over you know, the head of Miramax. I mean, it's just... Right, and you have to assume ladies kept quiet so they continue to work.
Yeah.
And it's just horrible to...
It is.
To me, it's horrible to even think that way, that people are in these positions. Or if you come out and say you've been assaulted and have Donna Karan say, well, what were you wearing?
You were asking
you're
for
immediately
it. Right.
Assaulted a second time.
Were you wearing Liz Claiborne?
Right, yeah. But it honestly is that, and the fact that, like, in what you would hope would be an enlightened world, that's Donna fucking Karen's response.
Right.
Barbara Streisand's best friend? Come on, lady.
Yeah.
Like, what? So, the thing that's going to make you like a horrible person, but I felt, because of the interview today on Rachel Maddow, because Ronan and Mia were just on that constant push to bring down Woody Allen and bring down Woody Allen. Woody Allen finances, or Harvey financed a lot of Woody Allen movies. Was it just like, well, the Woody angle's not working?
Well, yeah. We got close by? Maybe it was too well.
You know, that's awful. I got it. The Woody angle.
It's a bad pun.
So, I mean, it was just an interesting.
No.
Not that any. Still don't get it?
Nothing.
Don't care? Okay. So, it was, to me, it was an interesting thing that this story had Ronan as its, like, as the genesis
protagonist
of. Yeah. That I really was thinking, like, did you just need someone who's pissed off enough at the person that's releasing Woody Allen movies that you're going to, like, start picking around to find skeletons in his closet? And not to say that anything's not true, anything's made up. It's just like, is that...
Was,
like,
there a personal vendetta that kept him, like, digging that way? Sure.
Added.
And maybe.
Or is it something that everyone's known, like Hannibal said about Cosby, like, Google Cosby rape and you'll find more hits than you will on my name. Which I had never heard the stand-up. I knew it was Hannibal, and I didn't put him together as the guy from Broad City until, like, a year later. I was like, oh, wait, that's the guy that said that Cosby was a rapist as What's-Her-Face's boyfriend.
Right.
So in this one, is this something that's just been bubbling under the surface and it's just been waiting for someone to grab it by the reins? But, it was like a hurricane coming. You heard last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday that Harvey was getting ready to sue the New York Times. He had countersuits ready. You figured Gloria Allred was somewhere around ready.
Right.
Digging somebody up.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, I don't know. The story, it shocks me because I enjoy his movie so much. And I mean, most of my favorite movies have his fingerprints on them, and it turns out so do the actresses.
Yeah.
But
no,
I didn't mean that. I don't mean that.
I got that one.
Yeah. I didn't mean that as a pun, more as an indictment.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's very sad. Like, I mean, I seriously can't stop listing the movies in my head that I own. I mean, pretty much the whole fucking Miramax brand.
Well, and then tomorrow, like you know, it does with everything. Tomorrow's another news day, so more will come out tomorrow. It's just going to keep going until they bring down the entire empire.
But you've already got, like, the biggest stars. I mean, once you get Angelina Jolie and, you know, Jennifer Lawrence was just too young.
Maybe.
But I'm not sure that Winter's Bone isn't a Weinstein Company release. You know what I mean? Like, anytime there's a movie that got into the Oscars that no one's ever heard of, it was pretty much Harvey campaigning. Like, unless it was What's-Her-Face, Laura Dern's mom, making spaghetti for everybody and getting them both nominated for Ramblin' Rose, everything else is Harvey. So, it's just crazy.
Good night, Harrison.
Good night.
Good night, honey.
So, that's I mean, this is just going to consume most of the media. I mean, the media for sure, because again, every major star.
You get. You still subscribe to Entertainment Weekly, don't you? Well, I'm sure. When does your next installment arrive in the mail?
Oh, Friday.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm sure that will be riveting for you to read, because I'm sure that's going to be.
And again, something that comes in the mail that's that hot off the presses. Like, you can die on Tuesday, and your obituary will be in my mailbox on Friday. I don't know how they get stuff to press that late, that they can hit that deadline so late. But, I mean, this is literally every big movie star, almost an Oscar winner a year since about 1993, Four Weddings and a Funeral. Like, his fingers are on Pulp Fiction. Miramax is the house that Tarantino built. That's the expression. Because he got us Quentin Tarantino and all those Oscar nominations.
I'm not seeing that for Winter's Bone.
Okay. It was just a guess, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking she may have, because when they sold Miramax and all that stuff, and the charming story that's their parent, the immigrant parents' names, Miriam and Max. Miriam makes Miramax pictures.
Oh.
And,
I do like that.
Yeah.
I did hear on, obviously, he's already been dismissed from the.
Yeah, fired from his own company.
From his own company. And then they're already changing the name of it. So Weinstein will not, like, that name won't be on it anymore. I just heard that rolling out of Palm Springs today.
And now,
what a terrible way to just retire.
Granted, the people are coming forward and people are making these
allegations
and okay, what? I'm not saying I don't believe them. I'm asking what proof is there.
Oh, they actually did a sting operation with an actress.
So the sting,
with the New York City police.
When you were saying that.
Yeah, caught him red-handed.
I heard you saying that when I was looking something up for you, and I'm like, well, but I wasn't sure if that was
and
what
it was. It was, an actress that said, you want to see it? He'll do it again. Like, was that confident that
it'll
wore
happen.
Wore a mic. And, and if you, like I said, if you see the Rachel from today, Ronan is talking about how many people needed to remain anonymous, how many people just left Hollywood because of it, but the names that are on record with something to say, and then does it trickle down? Do you end up hating anyone else? I mean, every major motion picture star has some kind of attachment.
Right.
I mean, Renee Zellweger, he was her date for two of her Oscar nominations. Like, this guy is seriously fucking everywhere. Like, I could pick him out of a lineup, and I don't know who anybody is.
Yeah, that's actually... You can't find your own car.
Right, exactly. But I can pick Harvey out of a crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Colin Firth, when he won his Oscar, specifically thanked Harvey for their 19 years of collaboration.
Yeah.
Like specific thanks to this man. It's craziness. Just crazy that no one said it. Not crazy that it happened. It's just crazy that
no one.
We still live in a culture where people don't speak up and put a stop to these people.
Sure.
We'd be, you know.
Yeah.
You could have helped a lot of younger people. How many people went through something horrible?
The other thing I found interesting, and this may make me sound like a bad person too, but one of the things that, because I had seen him before, but it took me a second once they started saying the name on the news and I finally put a picture to him. One of the things that I noted, and you said, you know, he's everywhere. You can pick him out of a lineup. He's not an attractive man.
No.
At all. So, I mean, other than...
that is kind of a terrible statement because, like, it has nothing to do with him being attractive. Like, this is power play. This isn't an attraction thing. This isn't a sex thing.
It's
all about power.
But I'm only saying it because he's got the power. He couldn't get laid otherwise. He's not somebody that somebody would flock to and be like, he's so fucking hot. Yeah, he's got money, but God, he's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's not Warren Beatty.
Right. So, that's all I'm saying with that. So he's probably doing the same thing that he did in high school to try to get a date by pressuring people, which is probably how this whole thing started. Right. Would be my guess. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I don't have real knowledge of the whole thing other than what I've heard, but it seems like somebody who probably was already on the downside of being able just to get chicks when he was younger because he was either overweight, unattractive, whatever, and he got this power and used that because, like you said, he's not Tom Selleck. He's not going to just walk into a room.
But when you have the lure of, I can get you an Oscar nomination.
Right. I get the power play, but I just was like, you know, you look at him, you're like, well, no wonder you've got to back women in the corner. Nobody's going to come to you.
Some of the stories are just awful.
Yeah, they're horrible.
They're awful. Like, I read the one and I'm like, everyone needs a shower. Like, they need to close that hotel and change everything. Yeah. Just rebuild. Mm.
Yeah, there are a lot of times that people just don't come forward. You know, whatever reason it is, they think that they're either the only one or that no one would believe them.
Which is a curse in our society.
Huge curse.
Or they're gonna publish the swimmers' stats and worry more about the swimmer than the rape victim, the Stanford kid. You know what I mean?
Like, the swimmer who also rapes.
The culture of rape is so pervasive. Right.
And when it comes to the sports kind of stuff, it really is a big deal.
Yeah. And you know about Paul Ryan, the almost vice rapist in chief.
And when people sit back and talk about legitimate rape.
He is the co-author of that bill. Like, our president's a professional groper. An admitted groper, and now they're playing that tape all over.
And America,
we're in the one-year
anniversary.
Anniversary.
Last Saturday was the anniversary.
And I forgot because it had just come down to I had a nice convenient mental block about all of it.
I
forgot how grotesque a human and just repulsive a person Billy Bush is.
Oh right,
yeah,
like enabler. Because
one's a fat old white gross guy bragging, and the other one is just egging him on, and then
gets the
girl to hug him.
Yeah. Right?
Oh,
how about a hug for the Donald?
After all that he just heard, and I'm like,
yeah.
And I had never heard of him until the Ryan Lochte story, where him and The guy, Al Roker.
Oh, right.
When him and Al Roker fought on the air because he was trying to, like, legitimize the apology tour for Ryan Lochte. And right. Roker was like, listen, white boy, shut it down.
Yeah.
That's a criminal. Like, mm-hmm. that guy's a douche who should be in jail mm-hmm. for vandalism. You're defending someone undefensible. And then the next thing you hear about him is trying to get that woman to hug the pussy grabber.
Yeah.
And you're like, you sickening pimp. And I'm like, thank God. They both should have not been given new jobs, but thank God Billy Bush is under a rock somewhere getting the help he deserves, because you know that that boy...
I doubt he's getting the help.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get sued for whatever if anybody cares.
Sorry,
but
Aaron.
I really... You just know that there are victims of that trash heaps. Sexual abuse, too. You just know that he bought right in. Yeah. That Billy Bush is some slimy little fucker. He looks like one of those date rapers.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what one looks like.
Gross. It looks like Billy Bush.
Well,
yeah.
See, and I see.
Make a Wikipedia page for date rape and put Billy Bush's picture up.
Turn the audio off so we don't have to bleep this out later.
Yeah.
What?
Turn down all our microphones for a second. Oh. Guess to me?
Yes.
That's the quintessential date rapist.
Yeah. Jake? Fucking Jake?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Absolutely.
Date rape capital of the world.
Yep.
Figure it out on your own, kids. Do some research.
1996.
So that's entertainment. Really fun story. Yeah. Good times.
Wow. I was hoping you had like a fun one after that. Yeah. To
no.
Be like,
that,
I mean, what do you... Yeah, with that, what do you do?
You'll be happy to know. We're just going to jump out of this and end on a lighter note. I've started watching Nurse Jackie.
Oh.
From the very beginning, and I'm very excited that I have.
And Nurse Zoe is... Student Nurse Zoe at first, but she is the bomb.
Yeah. Because she's...
So tempting. Just don't pull the knife out of his chest.
It's so tempting. I totally just like passed that episode. That's fantastic. What else am I watching? I think that's it.
That's what,
I got nothing. Will and or not Will and Grace. Grey's Anatomy is back. My God.
How to Get Away with Murder's back, and I don't know what this season's about. I'm like three episodes in, and I'm like, what the fuck,
what is
people?
Happening? Yeah, I saw the first one and was like, well, okay.
We can't all do crack at the same time. Somebody's got to stay sober and write this shit.
Are you a watcher of Empire? Did I ask you this last week?
I am not.
I'm getting there now. I'm getting into the first season.
Because they're doing this amnesia thing this season.
Yeah, I saw that. He was on, the amnesiac.
Uh-huh. Terrence Howard?
Terrence Howard was on The View, I think it was. And they showed like some clips, and I thought, well, I wonder if I could get into that. I don't know.
It's good. I like it.
I like the cookie, whatever.
Yeah, Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Yeah.
I love me some cookie. But like they're doing this amnesia thing, and then I was talking to somebody at the bar, and they're like, no, it's all an act. He's in on it. I was like... Mind was blown. So I don't know where this is going.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, is he faking it the whole fucking time?
Yeah, there's some crazy shit
but
on TV.
That's some crazy storylines with Empire there. Like, it's ups and downs.
And my hope is that with the $9 million I pay for TV, I'm going to be able to see this Mr. Mercedes show that's getting all this great reviews, but it's on something.
Oh, we looked this up before. Where is that?
Like
we're going to look it up again.
It's like AT&T's network that...
So
you got to hope somebody picks it up. Oh, and here's happy news, because Will and Grace had never been on a streaming service because no one thought to ask. The streaming services didn't ask. The producers didn't think to ask because they went out on DVD and they thought, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, the times they were changed and they forgot to change with them, Hulu picked up Will and Grace. So if you want to see all 8 seasons of Will and Grace,
and
Hulu
I'm on the last
up.
Episode of the 3rd season, starting that from the beginning.
And Mira Sorvino's episode is by far the best episode of the whole, in my opinion. The Thanksgiving episode where Jack comes out to his mom. The Mira Sorvino dinner party are the two best episodes. Like, put them in a time capsule to be remembered forever.
There's a lot of really good ones. Like, the introduction to Woody Harrelson's character, like when he first shows up.
Smells like
just
hemp.
Charming.
What does she say about him?
The
dirty guy that smells like hemp. Because he's on that whole hemp kick.
Yeah.
Just the fact they brought it up, just enough Woody.
This Is Us.
Oh, terrific.
That's emotion porn.
That's legitimate call.
Right. What? It's brilliant. Because I was fine throughout the first one. Like, I haven't seen the second one yet. Because we haven't...
Of the new season?
The second one of the new season.
Okay.
We haven't made the time yet because we went to watch it, I think, Saturday. And Aaron Ling shows... No, it's daylight.
And just on her mascara, right?
And it's this or it's that. There was always a reason. And I think it was avoidance.
Yeah, sure.
But I think it's avoidance. But the first one didn't completely get hurt, but it sure as hell got me right at the end. And I thought, I'll be fine. No, I'm not.
No, no, they get you every time.
Every time.
It's like a baseball bat of emotions.
I know. Swung at you.
That's literally how I decide if I'm going to watch that show or not. Do I want to cry today? Right. Okay, I'm okay with it. I got time. And I sit down and watch it.
Right. And you think as you're watching it, you're like, I'm fine.
Oh.
The fact that I have to think that throughout the whole, like as the show's going on. It went to commercial. Haven't gotten me yet.
Yeah.
And then
it's a game of chicken. Well, I'm not snot crying yet.
Haven't gotten me there yet.
I just did the Denzel one tear so far.
I've got the Demi Moore.
Yeah. I haven't hiccuped into the couch screaming. Yeah. Oh my God. There was two episodes last year. Therapists were standing by.
Yes.
I've got one more that I think is making a staple for my viewing this season, and it's The Good Doctor. The one about the autistic doctor.
Is it good?
It is good. I like it so far. Yeah, I'm like two episodes. I think they're on their third. Their third is out.
I'll have to look.
I've
watched it.
Yeah,
he's just terrific. He pulled off Bates Motel for five seasons. He's
what
he's
was
good.
He in when he was little?
What's his name? Toby
Finding
from
Neverland.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. Toby from The West Wing.
Oh yeah,
is in it and plays like the the mentor father figure president of the hospital dude. The fuck is his actual name?
Not Richard Schiff.
Richard, yes.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
So I'm sold on that one too. I'm in.
Good.
And a little bit of a political intrigue, current events. There's a movie from last year called Desierto with Gael Garcia Bernal, who I love, about. A group of Mexicans trying to cross the border, and then a renegade, survivalist, asshole that thinks it's his mission to stop the border crossings.
Oh, I love those people.
And it's a little bit of a chase movie to see if, what can happen. And it's by Alfonso Cuarón's son, so Mexican-made movie. Interesting, but I don't know. Like I'm.
You're not sure
very,
about it.
That was very David. But I don't know.
Well, now I know what I'm watching at the gym.
Oh
this
my
week.
God, I love David. Seriously, I want to fly to Canada and meet him.
I love it.
Start a fan page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go.
We good?
Yeah, sure.
Here we go. Oh, I never do this.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of Frazzled, two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole-ass one thing.
Welcome, everybody, to the show with Kat Carlson.
Well played.
I got to talk to our graphics department. I don't know what the hell happened there.
Trademark pending.
Corpus castration.
So today, I have two things about a couple of stories that maybe aren't turning out quite how the protagonist, if you will, thought they would in the very beginning. So first of all...
About Republicans?
Well, what about them?
First, semi-human Mark Zuckerberg.
Semi-human, exactly.
You might have heard about this particular little piece of insensitivity from Zuckerberg. So Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg hosted a live video of him and a woman named Rachel Rubin, who's the head of their social virtual reality at Facebook.
Okay.
And they were showing off how to use something called Facebook Spaces, which is a virtual reality platform that Facebook is developing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So most of us know VR with the little stupid headset that you put on and you go ride the roller coaster. But there are...
I've never done it.
I haven't either, but I want to.
I think it'd be...
They make me seasick. I can't. I can't do them because the...
So what about you?
I would think it would be like a ViewMaster, only better.
Right. Kind of, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And you can do it with a lot of cell phones. In fact, I barely missed like the promotion. Yeah. Seriously, when I bought my... I have a Google Pixel phone and I like just barely missed the promotion, or I think I chose the money off promotion instead. But you like load the thing up on your phone and you plug it into the headset. You just wear the headset with your phone right there, and it's got special lenses on it.
Oh.
Don't walk. Does it say don't walk while you have this?
Yeah, no. There's all kinds of dumbass warnings on them.
Yeah. Don't drive don't drive with this in your windshield. Right?
Yeah.
Like how they...
Google's is called DreamWorks, and Samsung has one that's called something else, and I'm sure Apple has one. I think Apple's is called like Cardboard or something.
iCardboard.
I think it's Cardboard.
Okay. That's very cool. I didn't realize.
Yeah, so they're cool things. So they're developing this technology where you may, be able to interact increasingly with these virtual reality worlds. So right now, it says it's not really clear the point of the platform, except that it's sort of like Google Hangouts and Skype or any other video chat program, except that instead of seeing who you're talking to, you see their cartoon avatar, and you can change the background of the world you're chatting in, which the company calls teleporting, to somewhere else. And so to show off this functionality, Zuckerberg and Rachel headed to Puerto Rico.
Bad timing.
For real.
Yeah, which is still reeling from the effects of Hurricane Maria. Yeah. Say it soft and it's almost like praying. So, from inside Facebook's headquarters in California, they decided to check out this interesting 360 video of devastated Puerto Rico. And then Zuckerberg awkwardly like narrates his way through the video, commenting that one of the things that's really magical about virtual reality is you can get the feeling that you're really there.
So maybe it would be like going to Napa as well right now, right?
Right.
Like going to Santa Rosa or something like this. I mean, like, that would be good.
Buddy.
He really insensitive.
He must have stolen this from someone, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if he really had his finger on the pulse of like doing really smart things... Probably wouldn't.
Yeah, he says it really feels like we're in Puerto Rico, and it's obviously a tough place to get to right now. Virtual reality. That's a nice way to visit Puerto Rico right now. While the video was presumably intended to raise awareness for the damage in Puerto Rico, as well as tease the Facebook developer conference that's coming up, Oculus is, I think, maybe the partnership with Samsung. Anyway. Virtual reality platforms. I feel like that's a partnership with Samsung. Anyway, came off as a little tone deaf.
Which he often is.
I feel like
he's a little bit on the spectrum.
She said it, not me. Remember?
What? No, but he really does come across that way.
Yeah.
He does.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, because, the guy developed the largest online social platform in the world to try and get girls in
to try
college.
To be social.
Yeah.
I know a few people who do programming, and I think there's a very... there's a spectrum there.
Sure. Well, and there's...
I wouldn't disagree. Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there's a certain kind of...
not to label, but yeah, I mean, sure.
Well, and the social cues online are different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As someone who spent a lot of time in chat rooms and message boards and things, you know what I mean? The social cues online are very, very different than in person in the rest of the world. But yeah. After touring Puerto Rico, you'll be happy to know that they thought it'd be fun to go to the moon and took the dog with them.
Less storms.
Right. Less
In search for water.
Yeah. Augmented reality? Augmented reality. What's happening?
I think
so. Augmented reality is this thing where you superimpose digital content on the real world. So the augmented reality uses...
I thought they were calling that breast enhancement.
No.
Augmented reality.
Funny,
no.
Very funny. Okay. Very funny. No. So augmented reality you would use in a very similar way, but instead of the world being all virtual, it would be the real world that you would see with technology laid over it.
Okay.
So you could, with augmented reality, you could be in a new city and be sitting in your hotel room and say,
I'm in New York.
Right. So you're in New York, sitting in your hotel room, thinking, I wonder if there's a bagel place nearby. Mm-hmm. And you go to the window and you hold up your phone and you look around and it starts popping up all of the names of the restaurants.
Remember I told you that's the thing that
for
they
real?
Yes.
No,
remember,
yes, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
From New York.
In New York, yeah. When you were up in the Freedom Tower, you held up your thing and it would show you where movies were filmed.
So that's what that is.
Yeah. How'd I do, Joe?
Oh.
He's going to tell us in a minute how I did describe
it. I thought you were saying, like, you're...
No, that's a real thing. That's a real thing that can be done and that they're working
awesome.
On.
Yeah.
Because it's a cool thing and it's more useful than virtual reality right now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because we haven't
that's
quite...
I never thought of it from a practical aspect of... What's out that window?
Right. What's out there? Where am I? What is this place?
How do I get to there? And how far away is it? Wow. That's awesome.
I was in the airport sometime, who knows when.
Sure.
And I had a minute, so I did the virtual reality thingamabobby.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fucking cool. I wanted to act like I was not impressed.
Right.
But in that thing you said about not walking, they're like, the guy was like, how many times you ducked? Swerved, moved. He's like, and I'm like, okay, I need to watch somebody else do it because it's
cool,
so
yeah.
real. And at one point, you're like walking through the jungle with like chimps all around you, like swinging through the trees, and you're like, how the fuck did? And the fact that you can turn and it's 360,
wow,
was mind boggling. Like that was.
If you have time, then go on YouTube and watch videos of people like falling the fuck down
it's
because
hilarious.
Of virtual reality. Oh. That shit is hilarious because people will be like pretending to climb and then they'll lose their equilibrium and face.
What's
down
said? I
in the middle of the mall.
I was convinced it would never. It was not going to be me. And one of the things that saved me was that giant fucking suitcase I travel with.
Okay.
I was kind of leaning against it because I did the. Step forward in the part with the chimpanzees, I started to like reach for stuff and I was like, oh, yeah. Nuh-uh. And I had to sit down. I had to sit down after that ended because it was.
Yeah, I don't enjoy it. It makes me nauseous. Any kind of like falsely perceived motion, like even the Star Wars ride at Disneyland where it feels and looks like you're moving because they've got it all on the flat screen, makes me puke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes me puke.
Because the IKEA thing right now is taking me to a whole new level.
Oh,
Joe says IKEA now has an app for the iPhone that you can virtually place furniture in your home and see it live.
Oh,
where
yeah.
was that when I bought my couch that's
right.
that much too big for fitting?
And by that much, you mean this much.
No. I mean, literally,
no,
it's just a tiny amount.
But the
enough.
First thing you notice when you see that couch is, that's a big
that's
couch.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Oh, God.
Speaking of a big couch.
Anyway. There you go.
Thing two.
President Trump on Tuesday.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much.
Certainly not a place you want to lay.
No.
No.
With our apologies to the couch.
So apparently our president is feuding with his Secretary of State. We teased this a little bit earlier and haven't gotten around to it. So here we are. We're around to it. Apparently, Tillerson was in a meeting at the Pentagon and was asked about... the president's, you know, just overall grasp of the situation in the world.
Sure.
And Tillerson said, and I believe the exact quote is, he's a fucking moron.
Right.
Well, this got back to the president. Of course, the president, who's the smartest person in the world? Ask anybody.
Ever. Well, everybody
yeah. Anybody.
It's a big ocean.
He says, I think that's fake news, but if he did that, I guess we'll have to compare IQ tests, and I can tell you who's going to win. So,
but he doesn't say. So you're like,
he doesn't say anything.
No, it's my favorite part. He left it open.
He might be deflecting to Tillerson.
No, but I mean, for everything he doesn't say, well, you'll find out
in a new, I think should be national pastime. I think we need to just. I mean, sorry, baseball. I think you're gonna have to go to the wayside. I believe the new American national pastime should be calling the president's bluff.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good call.
Because God love the heroes at the Mensa Society.
Queued up and ready. Pencils down, sir.
They said we would be happy to hold...
We got a test right here.
Happy to hold a testing session for President Trump and Secretary Tillerson.
I love it.
Would be happy. I'm pretty sure it's not coming. I'm pretty sure
it's
not
happening. Come on! Be optimistic.
Yeah, the man who won't release his taxes is willing to do a public IQ test.
But I would love... like
Seriously.
To make a motion before the board that we just replace the national pastime with calling the president's bluff.
Oh, I
am entertained to no end by the Mensa Society.
It has to be live.
Let me.
Has to be live.
Like, and they're not usually good at the jokes, the Mensa people.
No, but that's.
But
that's
boy,
a good thing.
But they said
they're not joking.
I was just gonna say, teed up and ready.
Ready. Yeah.
But for those who haven't been following this as closely as we've been forced
for
to,
real.
The best part about it was the meeting happened.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. It was leaked. It was kept on the DL for a while, but it was always simmering that he had called him a moron. So then finally, somebody brought it up and made an issue. Somebody finally brought it to the table of, like, I think it was when Tillerson was saying, we have channels into a...
North Korea.
Diplomatic strategies in place. And Trump shot him down and said, don't waste your time. That's not going to work.
There's only one thing that'll work. And again, didn't say what it was.
No. So
we'll find out soon.
That's when it turned out, like, is there this thing? And then the press kept bringing up, well, you know, he did call him a moron before. Well, then they found out they were misquoting. So this is what makes this story so much fun. Yeah. Wasn't that the, because they were, oh, you know, that's not really the quote. You know, he really called him a fucking moron.
Right.
And it just got better
Which makes it better.
That they couldn't deny it the one way. All they could say was, yeah, he didn't call him a moron because he called him a fucking moron.
Right.
And watching
That's the best thing. Did you call the president a moron? No, I never said that. Did you call him an idiot? Nope, I never said that. Did you call him a fucking moron? Well, I don't want to comment on those things. That literally happened.
Yeah. And that's what makes it so much fun is he can't even deny it because it was leaked so many times. And there's always that fear now because of the things that happened with the Republican congressman standing around talking about Donald Trump being on Russia's payroll.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, no one ever said that. And they're like, we know it's leaked. They're like, all right, well, we were joking, but we didn't
right.
even
guess. Right.
You know, we have an audio tape. Fuck!
Right.
So you know that's the problem with Tillerson is he can't be, I can't deny it because one of those motherfuckers had their phone on. Yeah.
Well, and God bless Nero. Here's a sober drinking game. The president answers a question. You take a drink. We'll never drink a thing. God damn that son of a bitch does not answer anything.
In two weeks, you're going to see the best thing ever. 2 weeks. We're going to show you a couple
weeks. What's it going to be?
Still waiting.
Yeah, you don't know.
You'll know then. He is the free beer day after tomorrow king of America.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday.
His theme song should be If Tomorrow Never Comes.
Yeah.
Because it never does.
Someday it might not.
And quite frankly, that might actually happen with that one. Tomorrow may not come. With him.
Who would you poke the bear?
Who wouldn't pay good money to watch him take an IQ test?
Oh my God.
And again,
watch him take it. Like, that's... I want him locked in a room with the guard
because they're not going to leave him in a room alone. So they're going to have Secret Service or somebody's going to have to be in there.
And a camera.
Because I envisioned this as I was driving back today. I'm like, in a room by himself with, like, Secret Service at all four corners of the room because they have to protect him. I get it. But he can't ask any of them a question. He has to take the test.
That's right.
And then it just gets immediately graded.
Because you're going to find out he can't read.
Right.
And
he knows the best words.
Does anybody have a crayon?
Yeah. Because one of the things about IQ tests is they veer sharply towards verbal skills.
Right.
He got nothing.
Well, no, he can't read. Like, he has pretty much admitted he's illiterate, and they pretty much have to give him his briefings and pictures. So, he's missing the one component. God knows he only knows zero on math.
Yeah.
Bankrupt is the answer to every equation. So, like, there's just nowhere for him to go.
They were analyzing on All In with Chris Hayes this evening. They were, and you may have seen it if you were already on MSNBC. They were analyzing all of the quotes he quotes. He does everything in quotes.
Yeah.
And he goes, there's no real reason to put quotes around any of this stuff. And they were talking about the oddly placed apostrophes that he does and the fact that he spelled little L-I-D-D-L-E.
Oh.
Like, they were analyzing the shit out of all of that. They're like, we don't know what he's talking about.
He was on TV today spelling the way he pronounces liar should be L-Y-E-R.
Oy.
And you're like, no, lion. L-Y-E-N.
Oh, yeah, because Lion Ted. Because that's what he was explaining.
Yes, so yes. He was saying it should be spelled.
How do you spell that? And he just goes, L-Y. Yeah, I saw that clip of him.
And I was like,
dumbass. God,
it's for real.
There's so many times I'm like,
America. This is what happens.
We miss you, America.
This is the fault of MTV,
make
fucking
America
American Idol,
yeah.
Britney Spears,
make America
The Bachelor, all of honey fucking boo-boo. This is the end result of all of that guilty pleasure television you've been watching. Now
when
we get to watch it in real
fucking
life.
In a presidential debate,
we're in trouble.
We got the result. We got the product, if you will.
Well, now, the irony is that Honey Boo Boo actually made more sense than the presidential debate, too.
It's not really ironic, but I'm going to lie.
Well, she had closed captioning. She had translation.
Yeah.
Everybody's a little gay.
She had to.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go on to the last segment, breaking news.
I thought you had another thing.
I had two things.
You did? I have been busy over here. I'm sorry. Fuck you. What's your breaking news?
Okay. My first thing was Zuckerberg. My second thing is the president.
I was blending them all together.
Fair. Breaking news. No. Our friend Alexandra has donated to AIDSWalk. Thank you, Alexandra.
Oh, my God. What are you up to now?
$805.
Nice. Holy smokes.
I'll never forget the first time I heard your name.
Fantastic.
While
Alexandra Hamilton.
While you were
it was too easy. You could let that go.
It was good.
While you were over there doing your two things and I was obviously not paying attention to the
That's
second
okay.
thing.
Yeah, at all.
I was looking for actual footage of Al Perkins watching virtual reality for the first time. So I found it.
Hooray.
And I wanted to share it with you, so hopefully this goes well. If not, it's not my fault. Let's see.
What's happening?
Oh, it must be overheated.
That's overheated again.
See, and that's one of those headsets. There's a phone just stuck in there.
And
somebody's
people
phone.
That aren't watching this at all have no idea that wasn't you streaming.
Yeah, I did sign a release.
Oh my
of,
God, it was great.
I was tired that day. That's what I look like.
Oh my God.
I had the fright wig on.
Funny.
If you just Google or YouTube that and look for people who are watching virtual reality for the first time, it's fucking hilarious.
God damn, that's
but
funny.
You do, good time so spent. I don't know who they're, because you did have to sign a release that they made, you know what I mean? You sign a whole release about throwing up, falling down, but somebody will stand by you. And I'm like, this giant suitcase is going to keep me standing up. And the guy was like, yeah, I think it's going to take more than you to knock that over. So, but you do sign a lot of stuff, and it was free for...
Sure.
It felt like 20 minutes, but I think it was like six
maybe
or seven.
Five, yeah.
Okay.
But you go, it was like an around the world thing. The chimpanzees was
it's
cool.
It's crazy cool, yeah.
But there was parts with animals that I think if you have a fear, there was...
Oh, like a snake? Forget it.
I was thinking that too. No, I think it's a snake.
Fuck that.
Is it a cold-hearted snake?
Yeah.
Look into her eyes.
Can't go wrong with Paula.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are we thoughtfuling?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
So, this may come across as very, just... Right? Like,
So the rest of the show's been that way.
Yeah,
so.
I know, kind of, but...
this whole season has really been kind
of... I think, quite frankly, with what we're playing with in the White House, you know, the Orange House, that we're... that's kind of where my mind goes, so I apologize. I'll come up with something more lighthearted some other time. But in the wake of last Sunday in Las Vegas... Sunday ago,
right.
week
it feels
whatever.
Like a year ago.
It really does. It does. Or with all the different weather happenings that, you know, traveling, my old next door neighbor was in Puerto Rico when all this happened, right?
Oh.
I mean, so getting back with his whole family, you know, or it makes you, it gives you pause.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious if you guys, have any kind of apprehension or thought of having to make a plan, which to go on vacation or to mm-hmm. go somewhere, if there's any kind of a plan now that you feel like you need, like if we're all going to go somewhere but we want to go separate places, are we going to say, okay, if something happens, we need to meet here, 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 are we going to do that?
Right, or, right, yeah.
I don't know. So I throw that out, and I go to the red.
You know, I actually don't. I have a certain amount of, I guess, foolish fearlessness.
Okay.
You know, anytime something, like, terrible happens that has any kind of, like, perspective that might fall in my life, then people will ask me, like, oh my God, aren't you scared? Like, the Pulse nightclub mm-hmm. is the one that comes Absolutely. To mind the most, because yep. so many people were like, well, how do you go to work? Are you scared? Blah, blah, blah. I always feel like no matter, you know, my odds are the same every day,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, all of the horrible things in the world could happen to me, and there ain't shit I can do about it. You know right. what I mean? Like,
everybody's got a 50-50 chance. Right.
right? We're sitting next to a street-facing wall.
Mm-hmm.
A drunk driver could come barreling down the street and through this sure. wall, and right, all of us right. would be dead any minute now. Sure. That shit happens all the time. You never know it's coming, yeah, right? It's so, I know they would fuck up your nicely painted lawn.
God damn it.
Damn it.
It's true.
But freak things like that happen to people, and there's nothing that you can do about it. So I can either, like, give myself a stomachache fucking worrying about that, or I can operate with my life with good intention and common sense. You know what I mean? Sure. I don't go darting at midnight across Camelback Road in dark clothing against right. the light.
And may I just?
Hmm.
Because what I'm looking at is more not just our everyday, because I right. think that we kind of have, maybe in our own minds, and maybe sure. you don't, but like kind of that contingency plan, you know, of just the what if. What if something right. happens and I'm at errands and mom is at home? What am I going to do? Like, what would that look like in yeah. getting to her and making sure, et cetera, whatever.
I don't have binders of emergency
but
plans.
No. I'm saying, yeah. like, it more in my brain. I kind of do. But going on
have
a vacation.
Have you shared those with other people?
No, I don't need to.
Well, that's not
going to
happen.
No, I know. I'm just saying. But the idea of going somewhere, like going to oh, yeah, yeah. planning a vacation.
Well, like, if you were to go to Vegas.
Right. If you but were like, going to go to Vegas or Puerto
Rico. Let's say
or
house, like, house fire, like with yeah. living in your house, do you have a place to meet to make sure everybody's.
Nope.
Yeah, okay. that's nope. that's something to do.
Yeah, probably.
That is if something happens and you all everybody gets out of the house to meet somewhere so no sure. one goes running back in thinks someone's missing.
I hate to say it, the way my house is set up, my kids are toast.
Yeah. Well, that's reassuring.
It's nice, isn't it? Narrow. There's no way it. For them to get out. They're done.
I get it. People talk about going into grocery stores now and walking in to know, or like grocery stores or Walmart or Target, something, but where are the exits? Where if somebody comes sure. in, some crazy fucker walks through the door.
I think of it in movie theaters. Since well, the theaters, since yeah. the sure. Batman thing.
Sure.
Colorado.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the you know, when it came out and they had the things about we sure. appreciate what do they call it? Cosplay, what's that word?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Yeah. 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 We appreciate that, but no masks. And they had the list of things that weren't allowed. Okay. No fake weapons, yep. no masks, yep. no this, no that. Dress in whatever costume you want to, but it has these certain restrictions. And I was just like, somebody walks in here in a clown thing,
yeah.
I'm out of here.
Oh, sure. Fuck yeah.
Like,
yeah.
like
in general,
yeah.
with the world
because,
now.
Wow. Because the kid in Aurora was mm-hmm. in some kind of a, was he in mm-hmm. a Joker's mask or something?
Something.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah, something like that.
And, but that, I do think of that in the theater. Like,
sure. Sure, and I didn't mean to take that
no,
away.
No, you're fine. Yeah, no, of course.
Leaving, so
no, I have a certain amount of, I guess ignorance is bliss.
Sure,
yeah,
that's
you know
right.
what I mean, because it could happen anywhere.
Why put
know?
It out in the universe?
Right.
Why put it out in wherever?
Gabby so. Giffords was in a Safeway parking
yeah.
lot.
Right. right.
And
right.
12 people got right. shot there. You know what I mean? Right. There were a bunch of people in a gay club in Florida, and 49 right. people died there.
How
there
many
were,
kids have been in school?
Right,
right, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Right. There's no good place. There's no bad place. There's no rhyme or reason to these things.
Exactly. Yeah,
so it doesn't. I don't feel like it does me any good to plan for all of the worst case scenarios when I'm actually super helpless against those worst case scenarios should they happen to me.
I think that's fair.
Yeah,
I get it. I get that. How about you?
I'm kind of in a similar position with you. I don't worry about it. I just continue to go on and do things like. The second Vegas happened, the first thing I didn't think of was like, oh, I'm never going to Vegas again. Mm. I mean, that doesn't cross my mind. I keep thinking,
I was thinking those room prices are going down.
Yeah.
I'm staying on Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not, I don't focus on that. I guess I just put it in the back of my head and I'm like, oh, that happened. And we just keep going and moving on. I don't want to paralyze myself with fear of the what ifs. Because if you did that, you just never move.
Yeah, you're right.
You'd never move anywhere.
Yeah, but I think there's kind of a difference between like a mass shooting and things that can happen randomly and stuff that you could prepare for.
Right, just being,
which I guess I'll get
right,
to.
Like the fire thing in my house is probably a good idea.
Right.
Yeah, have a meeting. Have a meeting point so that nobody goes running back in looking for something that's lost. And I guess pick your favorite pets.
Because
we're not all making it out.
I've got a pet door. If those fuckers can't get out, sad face. It wouldn't be the first Barnum house
I have two pet doors and two pets. I figured they got a good chance.
Yeah. They probably have a better chance than I do, honestly.
Exactly.
And Nero says, I'm pretty sure the whole thing got triggered in my brain as a child. We flew twice a year, and every time we got on a plane, told how to escape. Sure.
Yeah. Right.
So if from the time you're
the
little.
The exit's maybe behind you. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Something like that.
I haven't changed anything about where I would go, or I haven't thought about it. And that, like, we're leaving Thursday to go back to Missouri, and we're gonna ride a train across that. Now I have thought about that. You know, there's not gonna be any water evacuations on a train. I don't think. No, granted, it may go across a bridge here or there, and then we may have water
and trains derail, and that's fucked up when that happens.
And I've thought about that. I have thought about that, but then again,
I'll take Megan.
What am I gonna?
And Zoe.
Sure, go.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Zoe.
Mom's cat.
Oh.
But I've thought about it. But then again, I just don't focus on those things. So I'm like, it's so rare. I just don't think the probability is going to hit me. It's like, I don't walk around outside wondering if I'm going to get hit by lightning.
Sure.
Right.
But there are those people who fixate on that.
And like in the middle of a storm, hang on to something that's metal.
I'm not going
to
go hold on to a flagpole.
Right. No. So, I mean, like we know.
I'm not that lucky.
Here are the things to avoid, and I guess that's what I'm kind of looking at. If Puerto Rico, I'm not saying I'll never go to Puerto Rico, but I think that going during any kind of time...
Hurricane season is not a good idea.
I don't think it is. Might be cheaper, but maybe not in the long run. And, you know, that
as someone who was in Puerto Rico for a hurricane...
Right.
Like, we had to have a plan.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden,
we had to have a plan, and we had to have
a disaster setup. Like, we were there. Our hurricane was coming. We were not going to be... I mean, we could have left, but was abandoning your whole vacation. And I was one of those people. Like, there was a Cat 3 hurricane that was going to hit the other side of the island, but it's not a very big island.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-hour drive across
right.
from one end to the other. We were not going to... Okay, we'll take our chances. We did the asshole thing.
Sure.
We could have happily driven to San Juan Airport. Or we were right near Borneo Airport. Like, we went out. Like, hurricane's coming. We don't need to be here, but we stayed. Go to California all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there's no warning. So Harrison will tell me of, like, they've been having aftershocks. One time she was like, put a pair of shoes by the door. Mm-hmm. We're having aftershocks. And when, she lived in one building that was not particularly code-proof.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, sleep in something. Have
shoes by the door.
Shoes by the
door.
We gotta go. So there is those things where I'm not worried all the time about it, but I do keep that in mind. Like, my house is all locked.
Mm-hmm.
I have security doors. Mm-hmm. So before I go to bed, I know where those keys are. Because I can't find anything, but the one thing I do, drunk or sober, in any condition, is I know where the keys are, because I don't want to die inside my house looking for a fucking set of keys.
Sure.
Although there are escape routes through windows and stuff like that, but the easiest way would be to go
out
the door
that
way.
So those things stay. But in traveling through Europe, I kept thinking, oh, we're safe here, nothing's gonna happen. What, a month after I'm in Barcelona, somebody drives a car down the Ramblas and kills people, and like I kept thinking, oh, who would do something in Barcelona? Who the fuck would bother in this lovely quiet little town? But then when we were in Rome and all of a sudden we're in these narrow streets and you're like, and you're by the Senate, you're by the capital of Rome, you're in the Vatican, you're in the one of the most corrupt places on earth that everybody's out to get, including other... And all of a sudden you're like, you know what? We're going to look around. We're going to look at exits.
Right. True.
You know what I mean? And when they did that slam the door into the Silencio thing, I thought, now we're all going to get shot. Mm. Whatever reason, they just locked us in this in this room and started screaming at us. Like, I honestly thought that was the end. And I'm like, all right, I'm not getting out of here. There's a door there and a door there, and they both just closed.
Yeah.
And people are screaming. Is it outside? Is it in here? Mm-hmm. And you just... shooting in New Orleans was involved with that. Right. People running down the street. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Like, there's, it comes up. I mean, it's not as lightning as you think it is.
Yeah.
If you move around a little bit, you're going to end up in the, and you have absolutely. To, and you have to make a plan. Am I going to stay calm?
Right.
Am I going to trample people?
Am I not
going to
leave my house anymore? Which
is not an option.
Not an option.
And maybe for me it's more instinctive, because when something does happen, I end up being the bossy bitch that tells everyone where to go. Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean?
But you have to you have to, even if it's just, you're not necessarily plotting it, it's that reality. What did Nero say? Something.
Just that.
Just
the
being
escapes.
aware of my surroundings, and that's, I think, what you are. Like, you walk in, and I think instinctively,
I know everything.
No, I absolutely disagree. But I think that...
it's a good thing my kids don't listen to this. Right? I know all the things.
Yes, but yes.
They're fucking convinced.
Right. Yes. But when we walk in, there are certain things that we just instinctively look to, whether we know it or not. And maybe from working in the bars, maybe from, you know, just kind of like, where are the outlets or what? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But
I don't know.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just one of those things that you have to decide how you're going to react in something. Right. Like that shooting thing, I was like, we're not running. Like, we're just going to...
keep on keeping on.
Just keep on keeping on and get out of here. If we get shot, we get shot. If we don't, but getting trampled is going to be real fucking easy.
Yeah.
If this crowd turns.
Exactly. You start running, and that's a lot of the injuries, apparently, in Vegas.
Sure.
But you don't know. I mean, where the hell is this?
Because it's raining bullets.
From?
Of course people are going to start running.
And again, there's things that are unexpected, and there's things that just... that you get some warning, you know it's coming, like the haboob. You can see it in the distance, the sky turns yellow, roll up your windows.
Maybe don't drive.
Maybe don't drive.
Yep. Maybe don't be on your way to Clayton's and you can see it in the back of your window.
Well, like, I mean, trying to outrun it is different. I was outrunning.
That's true. That's real true.
Or anyway. Water, you know, water rising.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden you're just on a doctor's appointment and you took a wrong turn trying to... trying to get through traffic, and you're on a fucking flooding road, and you're like, well, I'm here.
Do you know here's what I
so
have
So I have a lot of
with.
Asshole stories.
I don't know that I want to... I don't know the traveling
like
with Al.
Common denominator here.
not traveling with Al and or, traveling with Al. I'm not sure.
Again, the fact that I'm alive...
Yes, you've had a lot of the things. I guess I would say that it's just a matter of a healthy dose of fear for me. Paying attention. That having just a healthy dose of fear. Enough to not be afraid. When people hear fear, I think it's kind of like, you know, whoa, she's scared. No. Just
maybe
to pay attention.
Healthy dose of caution.
Right. A healthy dose of caution.
Like landing in Denver's airport. Yeah. I had never been anywhere and seen tornado shelters. I had never seen that. But all of a sudden, I was in the Denver airport, and they had tornado shelters.
Interesting. Okay.
And I was like, well, I'm going to make a note of what that is, because if it happens enough that somebody thought to put up a shelter, then I'm going to be the one that knows where the fuck that shelter was. And that's the kind of thing about just keeping an eye out of, like, I don't believe there's going to be a tornado that's going to hit the Denver asshole airport, because... the tornado doesn't want to drive that far either.
Sure.
It's out of town. Yeah.
It's out of town. But as soon as I saw that, all of a sudden I'm like, well, clearly there's a reason to be aware of this. You know, I don't spend a lot of time in Tornado Alley or any, it turns out. So I'd never seen that warning.
And I did spend a lot of time in Tornado Alley, but I've never seen that. Yeah. I've never seen that.
It's in the Denver airport. Yeah. Or it's in downtown in Manhattan now. Is it there too? No. I don't know. Evacuation routes are now up for water surges for another Superstorm Sandy.
Okay.
Or they have them in Santa Monica now. There's evacuation routes that all of a sudden it's a sign that I'm like, well, I've never seen that before. But I'm like, well, we've had some storm surges lately.
Sure.
So I guess. And I just
I'd file rather it away. Remember. Yeah. Right.
Like, okay.
Right.
And I'm the asshole that reads every single sign and is always mm-hmm. like, what does that mean? But I'm like, there's an evacuation route. So if somebody says something on the TV, I'd be like, yep.
I think that for me, if I have, like, when you go into my car, well, not right now, but the way that I typically have my car, and when I get my car back into the way that it was, it always, like, you could, it's like the fucking let's make a deal in my car. I mean, for real.
So
like,
you have a hard-boiled egg.
Oh, no, like, right now.
A stamped envelope.
Two live chickens.
And a paper clip.
You go in there, like, do you remember that god-awful rain that we had where, at one point, the rain was coming down so hard that I was inside a Target, and everyone truly stopped and stared at each other like, this fucking building is going to fall down right now. It was so loud. And so we were in there, and I was like, well, time to go to the tarp aisle.
Yeah.
And so I went over to the tarp aisle, and I got myself a little poncho for 99 cents and, you know, whatever. And people were like, well, I can't go outside in that. What are you going to fucking melt?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had all this shit that I had to buy, and I was not going to put it back.
Right.
So I put on my little poncho and I covered my cart with the tarp and I went to my car. Fine. Yeah,
sure.
You know, but it was that kind of where, and so now those things are in my car. But I plan for those things, so why wouldn't I plan if I am going to go somewhere to pay attention? That's all, I think.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way to plan for a shooter coming in.
What's, you can't.
You can't. Like, you can just plan on escaping something in case of
something after, going on. After attention. The Pulse nightclub, they actually did have Phoenix PD in, like, that department of the police department. Came over to Cobalt, and we've invited staff from other bars. And they did kind of a presentation about what to do in this case. And the nuts and bolts of it is... Get out.
Really.
Run away. There's nothing you can do about it. Right. Like, you're not going
to...
You're probably...
Don't try to take the gun.
Don't try to be the hero.
Don't be a hero. Yep. Get out.
Yeah, fighting is the absolute... That's the last thing, and because you have nothing else. Yep. We have yearly... we call them annuals, these mandatories that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And it's always about, like, what to do with bloodborne pathogens, or how to wear your mask, or what to do, how to label specimens.
If you get stuck with a needle or anything.
We had one about, like, a shooter this year, and that was new. We had never had that. So I actually had to watch a whole video of, like, how to react to a mass shooting in my department. And I was like, I just want to go home. Like, I already work on the 11th floor, and nobody above the third floor, you're dead in a fire. Like, no one's coming for you. The ladders don't go up that high. If you can't make it safely down the stairs, that show's over. Above the third floor, we learned it from the MGM Grand in Vegas.
And that's Natalie Cole.
From that. Yeah, Natalie Cole. All lessons come from Natalie.
Although on Grey's Anatomy, they almost always get out.
Right, but above the third floor, like, if you can't get to them, they ain't...
Yeah.
Nobody's bringing a ladder up to you. You got to get out. So, but, I mean, to add that to it, like, now we got to worry that some asshole that's mad at us about, you know, the applesauce is going to, like, what the
fuck? How do you think Aaron feels?
Being
in the schools and having to do that and having to see that. I mean, and not taking anything away from you having to watch like, that kind of, you're like, but it's kids and it's, I don't know. It really is terrifying that you even have to think about that stuff.
And welcome to Holly. Does anybody know who Holly was, who was in the chat room earlier? Because I don't have that name.
I don't know.
So, well,
Holly, are you Holly from Massachusetts?
That's
that
what
we
I'm
know?
Wondering, yeah. I'm like, because she said she listens to it walking to class, and I'm like, if you have cash in your name,
two potential last names for Holly.
And put it together.
Hobby or homemaker?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Interesting.
So, you don't know.
Holly, if you get back online, so make sure to send us a thing and tell us where you're from or something about you. But thank you
that
for
stuff.
Tuning
is
in, because I don't have Holly on my list.
This popped up in my feed on Facebook just soon. CNN is on point with this stuff. They are ready. They have an IQ test online, which I'm going to take a little off. I'll find the link, CNNpolitics.com, that you can take an IQ test to find out if you are smarter than the leader of the free world.
Don't take the test, because you already know you are.
Yeah, no shit. My God. Anywho, well, it's been another fun week. I'm getting ready to go off for a trip to Missouri. I don't know if anybody else is going anywhere, but we'll all gather once again next week if it all permits.
We're heading up north, too.
Oh, that's right. You two are going up there.
Yeah.
My God. So much happening.
I know.
So
very busy. Very busy. I've got a plan.
I'm sure you do.
I've got no plan.
Get one. Get a plan.
I'm making this shit up every day as I go.
As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Have a good night.